You're listening to a TJSlideways.com podcast from the 2014 Knoxville Nationals. Brought to you by All-Star Performance, Bailey's Racing Engine, Engine Pro, Maxim Chassis, Must-See Racing, Oshweken Speedway, Open Wheel Extravaganza at Sandusky Speedway, and Slave Shock Technology.
Also brought to you this week by the Dirt Classic over at the Lincoln Motor Speedway. And also for the Knoxville Nationals, sponsored by Attica Raceway Park on Friday, August 29th. The Lucas Oil Late Model Series and the UNOH All-Star Circuit of Champions will be there. Also on Saturday night, the All-Stars return for the $5,000 to win Ballman Auto Group night. That'll be the season finale over at Attica Raceway Park. Of course, you heard we're live at the 2014 FVP Knoxville Nationals presented by Casey's General Stores, wrapping up what is now the first night of action on Thursday. Brian Brown winning the Lucas Oil qualifying night over Sam Hafertape Jr. and Kerry Madsen. Terry McCarroll and Brian Clausen rounded out the top five last night. Brown taking the lead from Hafertape with four laps to go after a late race restart. Tremendous feature to start out the Knoxville Nationals. And, of course, the all-important points after the Knoxville Nationals. Kerry Madsen leading that after night number one with 491 points. Brian Brown second with 485 points. Third, Paul McMahon with 484. Terry McCarroll sitting in the fourth spot with 481 points. And Sam Hafertape Jr. rounding out the top five with 457. Rounding out the top ten will be Joey Saldana with 454. Brian Clausen with a tremendous run, a top five finish last night, a feature, good qualifying effort, likely to lock himself into the A main, sitting in seventh in points with 444. Ryan Bunton, another great story with a great qualifying effort, had to change engines actually after his heat race and still managed to put himself into eighth spot with 443. Cody Dara in ninth with 437. And Stevie Smith rounds out the top 10 with 434 points. And let's get right into the audio last night. We'll start with third place Sam Hafertape Jr., see what he had to say immediately following last night's feature event.
Budget's pretty tight, to be honest. To run good tonight is awesome, and run good last week was awesome. But no, in all honesty, came here tonight. My goal every time I come to the Knoxville Nationals A-Main, realistically, is to make the main event on Saturday night. And that's our goal. And tonight, I think we may have. I don't know. You know, we're going to be close. But, that is our goal every time we come here. I mean, if we are more geared around this place like Brown is and Madsen and had a team like that, you know, maybe our expectations would be a little bit different. But, we have to be realistic here. You know, the amount of money we spend versus what those guys spend, we just have to be realistic and realize that, hey, we're in a different area than those guys are. But, it doesn't stop us from trying. We're still trying to win.
More from Sam Hafertape. Here's some more about him. He's been taking over the team from his father this year. They've got one guy that works on the car, and it's a pretty actually small operation, so it's a good story. Led a majority of last night's feature. Here's more from Sam.
Well, we set up for that. I mean, we set up for traffic. I mean, I knew it was going to be tight in traffic, and I knew we were going to get in a ton of it. And with the track being as fast as it was tonight, when you get in traffic like that, it gets the front end of these cars really, really tight. So we set up for that, and unfortunately, the red came out there, and we knew we probably weren't going to be as good as other guys in clean air, but I knew that I could probably outdrive a couple of those guys and get through the lap cars. I knew if I held Brown behind me that we'd have a good chance of winning tonight, and we almost did. But Brown's the best guy in the business here, so to get beat by him, I'm not too mad about it.
That's Sam recapping how he lost the lead on that late race restart. Here's the audio from him describing a season where he might go the rest of the year and working with the smaller budget team this season.
For sure. I mean, I'll tell you right now, I got one crew guy, and he works his ass off, you know. And I've chewed his ass the past few days, and I told him, I said, hey, man, it's the biggest race of the year. It's time to go, you know. And, we like to have a good time, and we like to party sometimes. And he's a young kid, so. No, and he's a young kid, so, you know, I'm a little older now. I'm 28, and I've been through it all, and just had to remind him, hey, you know, there's a time and a place for that, and when we get through all this, we can have a good time. So we're going to go have a good time tonight.
for your team, you mentioned not having the budget some of the other ones. What does it mean just to make this A main for your team and be able to go the rest of the year?
Well, the engine in the car is practically the only one we've got that's really worth running here. So for it to stay together for all 25, I was pretty happy about that. So going forward, you know, our budget's not big, and, you know, I'm not complaining. I'm a very lucky individual to get to be able to do what we're doing. It's just awesome. You know, my dad kind of handed everything over to me this year and said, hey, I'm out. You know, I can't afford to do it anymore. And, you know, and I've been working my ass off, to be honest. I've been trying to build my own engines and rebuild my own engines, and you know, I think I'm doing a pretty decent job. It's a lot of hard work, and you know, without guys like Charlie Fisher helping me out, and like guys like Dennis Wells, you know, if it wasn't for those guys, you know, we couldn't be where we are right now.
More from Sam.
Well, I've got all the parts to put together another 360 right now, and we were actually supposed to run it last week but ran out of time to put it together. So we're going to build another 360, and hopefully we can gather up some sponsors to help me build one more 410. And if I get all that stuff in my stable, you know, I'm not even looking what I'm going to do the end of the year. I'm looking what I'm going to do towards next year. You know, I'm trying to get everything in order and everything in line to really go hard at it next year. I don't want to be tied down to one series. I want to be able to travel and make some money, you know, at some big races. You know, unfortunately, you know, we're kind of stuck in one area right now. It's not a bad thing. You know, the ASC still is a good deal for us right now because financially we can't do the 410 deal. So right now I'm not looking ahead. I'm looking race to race, and whatever happens, happens. But over the winter time, I really want to get all my ducks in a row and get our team in a place where when we start the year out, we're prepared.
Now, here's Kerry Madsen's always a great interview. And during the press conference last night, Madsen and Brian Brown had a very interesting exchange about getting through the heat race at Knoxville Raceway and the moves they made to be able to transfer. First, we'll start with Madsen, what he had to say about the move to get through the heat race and transfer the feature, followed by winner Brian Brown's comments and how he did the same.
Me and Brent have a bit of a joke each week about who's going to put four in the fluff. We have a lot of fun with that. And he was saying that before the heat, Brown was going, where are you going to go? And I'm like, oh, I'm just going to take a conservative, man. Exactly what he said. And then after it, I went, four in the fluff, boy. The heat race was just, I was not expecting to be able to do that. You know, to be honest, we're all expecting heavy one-lane racetrack and weren't we going to have to do much. And it just opened up there and I got some clean air. I really just went high to chase clean air and sit the front of the nose down and just kind of got my own line up there. And Brian Morris and engine horsepower around everybody. It was just mind-bending, mind-boggling to me, but it was pretty exciting at the same time.
Yeah, so you can see I was kind of hoping he would have just kind of tucked in there so I didn't have to make such a ballsy move myself. So. No, he's a good friend of mine. It's fun to be able to have a guy you can say, hey, joke and say, what are you going to do? And he proves he could do it.
And that was the first comment from Madsen. Here's the post-race interview we did with Madsen about his top three finish and the great season he's had so far. And we also asked him about how this sets him up for the rest of the week and how he'll approach it. Here's third place finisher Kerry Madsen.
Kerry Madsen continuing a great run for the past month and getting yourself in good position for Saturday night of the Knoxville Nationals. Kerry, tonight you had to work your way up through the field. How did you manage? Is there any particular line you were looking for? How did you manage to get through everybody?
Oh, look, we had a good race car, so I could kind of get close to them and then sit there and wait when they bubbled or did something. Then you try to make a counteraction and just take each car slowly at a time. And I really wasn't overly concerned about trying to get to the front as fast as I could to try and win the races. Just wanted to get a good finish. So just a nice, slow, steady pace and awesome to get a podium finish.
How hard is it to temper yourself to not want, when a track's narrow like that and heavy, not to want to get big chunks at the start?
Yeah, look, for me, probably I've been guilty of being over-aggressive in the past, but no, it's easy. You know, like tonight was easy because we had a good points in the bank, so we didn't want to take that in a chance. And it's a double-edged sword because sometimes if you're too conservative, you'll get run over or you get in trouble being too conservative. So there's a balance, but it's about seeing the bigger picture, and I feel like I'm doing a better job seeing the bigger picture, and It's been a good ride.
This has been an amazing run for you. How does it feel as a driver going to the racetrack every night, knowing you've got a car, it's probably the fastest car in the area?
That's great. I mean, there's no words that can describe it. And but you're not definitely not taking it for granted, because, you know, we've been on the bad side of that too. We've had we've built this team in the last 3.5 years, so we've had some shockers. But it feels like all the hard steps and all the hard work we've done is paying off, and we're getting great results to prove. Obviously, there's more bad nights coming, but the confidence level is definitely high, but it's like a tempered confidence, so we'll move on.
Now, you're the first prelim night. What is it like to have to sit through the other night and then wait for Saturday?
Look, if you had a bad night, it's just totally terrible. If you have a good night, I'm sure it's going to be a lot of fun.
All right. Thanks, Gary.
Thanks.
And that is Kerry Madsen. And, of course, we're going to finish up with looking at last night's race by hearing from the winner, Brian Brown. Did another great job during the preliminary night. And Brownie's name, after kind of a rough start to the season, is back in the conversation for who's going to win this thing on Saturday night. A lot of the locals optimistic that he's going to be carrying the banner for Knoxville Raceway on Saturday and could be one of the weekly regulars that could be in contention to win the Nationals. Here's what Brian Brown had to say immediately following last night's feature.
Brian, congratulations. Why don't you talk us through that last restart?
Got a good run on Sam and, you know, stuck the bottom in one and two and went into three, and he kind of chopped me a little bit, and I kind of figured at that point I'm going to run second, and then I was able to get going again and get another run in one and two and got a little bit further up beside him that time and was able to sneak on by. So overall great night. You know, couldn't ask for much more. We'll probably be starting the first couple rows tomorrow or on Saturday, and that's really all we can ask for.
It's Brian Brown. Here's more from Brian following the feature last night, his victory during the FVP Knoxville Nationals.
Anytime you win, your confidence just gets higher and higher and higher. And I don't care if you win a heat race or hot laps or whatnot. You know, to win the 360 Nationals, win the front row challenge, and come here and win this, it's been a dream week. I just hope the dream doesn't – I don't wake up and it's not real. So really looking forward to Saturday. I've been looking forward to this for 360 days. And all we ask for every year is an opportunity to win it, and we've got another opportunity. And this year, hopefully, we put the nail in the coffin.
How did that last caution flag re-energize you in the feature when you knew you got that caution, able to catch up to later?
I was counting on running second because I couldn't really see Sam, and then it just gave me another opportunity to catch him there. And I was content running second. I was still going to be good in points if I ran second. If I got the opportunity, I wanted to try to win, but I wasn't going to do something stupid to take myself out of position. And here we are.
All right, thanks.
And you listen to all those guys. They mentioned they have to be aggressive, but it comes to feature time. A lot of them driving smart this year, trying to hope to get into just a good point position with that 50 laps. Guys maybe aren't as concerned with being on the front row for the feature, but just near the front. And we heard that a lot last night. Well, in case we did rain out the Wednesday program. So Thursday was Thursday. Friday is now Wednesday. The original first preliminary night will be run tonight. Saturday morning is now Friday, the non-qualifiers program, and we will be going back to the old format. So the top 50 in points will get locked into the A, B, and C mains in increments of 20, 20, and 10. And then no qualifying, heat races, last chance races, and features for the non-qualifiers cars. Winner of the C main will start 11th in Saturday's C main. So the winner on Saturday's non-qualifiers race does make the mid-pack of the C main. There is still the World Challenge to be contested. If the highest finisher in the top three does not have a starting spot in the A main, they get their ticket punched to go to Saturday night's feature. Of course, Saturday night will remain the same with the normal alphabets of features. And while wandering the grounds yesterday, we had a chance to catch up with one of the competitors for tonight's event, Bud Kading, who's making his first appearance in quite a while. And he's only made one attempt at the 410 Nationals here at Knoxville, and he's come back with the Zero team from California that Jonathan Howard has driven for in the past. So he's coming with a team with a lot of experience, and we asked Bud about that and his outlook on being back at the 410 Nationals.
Bud Kading, welcome back to the Knoxville Nationals, man. I know you've come here with the 29 car in the past and have, you know, run the non-wing show, maybe hung out for a little bit, but it's been a little while since we've seen you here at the wing.
Yeah, definitely. It's been 3 or 4 years since we got to race out here. I enjoy being back. I think I'm pretty confident these guys that I'm racing with Williams Motorsports. They've been here a few times with Jonathan Allard, and they've gotten the show one time, and I don't know, if it quits raining, maybe we could get an opportunity to get there and see where we stand up with everybody.
How much more confidence as a driver does it give you when you go here with a team that has as much experience as the Williams team does coming out here?
I mean, it obviously gives me a lot of confidence, obviously, just because, you know, their track record here has been pretty good. You know, only making this show one time, I guess it's either way you look at it, there's a couple ways you can take that as success. But if we have a good showing here and we get in the B main or something, would be ultimate for us. And, you know, if everything kind of fell our way, I think we could get into the feature. But it's tough. I don't have much experience here, so really don't have a whole lot of expectations. Just come here and run hard and, you know, hopefully it goes well enough that I can come back year after year and just get some more seat time in here and maybe get into one of those deals where we come here and we're confident that we're going to be in the show. It's just where we're going to land in it.
You're a guy that's run his own team quite a bit. How different is it coming over to a team where you're not necessarily running it for the Williams family? It's their operation, and you don't have to maybe do as many of the day-to-day tasks as far as running it.
Yeah, it's a big difference not having all that responsibility on you. It's kind of a breath of fresh air. You know, it's not all on your shoulders, and you see a different way of how other people do it. And, you know, there's things that they do different than I do, and there's a lot of things I do different as well. So, you know, they have a pretty successful team, and I would like to think that I did too. So the way we've been collaborating and putting things together, especially here lately, we've been running a heck of a lot better and up front. And I don't know, it just seems to get better race by race and just keep building on that success.
Rest of the season out on the West Coast, I assume, finish up out there with the Outlaws and through the rest of the West Coast schedule?
Yeah, we got quite a bit of racing left. Outlaws come back out there here in a month, and got, I think, five or six the KWS races left, and a couple big 360 races left out there, and then some non-wing racing as well. So be plenty busy here the next couple months of the racing season, and looking forward to the off-season.
One more question. Do you have anything lined up for Turkey Night?
No, nothing at all. It's, I don't know, not too much of a midget guy myself. I've been to Chili Bowl quite a few times, and it was fun, but I don't know, midgets, just there's one team you want to race for, and if you aren't racing for that team, there's no reason to really go to the race anymore.
All right, Bud Kading.
All right, that's Bud Kading, and thank him for taking time out, because we had nothing after that Wednesday rain out to have, and we were afraid we might get rained out again. Thankfully, the Duncan family did a great job on the racetrack. We had some awesome racing last night. Even though it was a narrow track, we were still plenty of passing, and a great race for the lead, and it was a great way to start off the Knoxville Nationals after a very wet beginning on Wednesday. And that's going to wrap up this edition of the TJ Slideways post-race podcast. Of course, we want to thank our sponsor for our Knoxville trip with our accommodations, Attica Raceway Park, Friday, August 29th, Detroit Chocolate Night with the Lucas Oil Late Model Series and the UNOH All-Star Circuit of Champions, the best of both worlds, followed up by Saturday, the Bauman Auto Group Night, the finale for Attica Raceway Park for the 2014 season, featuring the All-Star Circuit of Champions, plus the Attica Wayne County Late Model Challenge in 305 Sprint Cars and Dirt Trucks to end their season. We're going to head back out to the racetrack with more coverage. Of course, don't forget to look at the website, tjslideways.com, for all the photos, notes, everything else supplemental for your 2014 Knoxville Nationals coverage. Thank you, and we'll see you at the track later today.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the TJSlideways.com podcast.